So in today's episode, we're going to talk about how to recognize when you're being hindered, when you're being prevented from doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, and what to do about it. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the God's Best for Your Life podcast with Greg and Sharon Fletcher.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Fletcher. And I'm here with my husband. And we're going to discuss what to do about hindrances to your purpose. So this seems kind of like a really good topic in January of 2024, which is where we are, because the beginning of a year is a natural time for us to go back through our goals. Maybe you've set some resolutions, maybe you haven't set resolutions, but you just have general goals on what direction you want to see your life. Or maybe you're going back over last year and seeing, okay, what worked, what didn't work, what can I change? Anyway, and you may have noticed as you're going through those things that the goals you had a year ago, you haven't gotten very far. You know, maybe the things that God's put in your heart, your purpose, just isn't coming about the way you want it to. So we're going to discuss what that feels like, how to recognize that, and then what to do about it.
Yeah, I think it's a really super important topic because, yes, it is that time of year where people are making resolutions or are examining their hearts and their lives and looking for change. And so not addressing hindrances is a major part of that. Mm-hmm. And so especially the spiritual aspects. So I'm really excited about this conversation.
Yeah, me too. We're here for a reason. You know, all of us have a God-given purpose. We have gifts that God's given us to help us to fulfill that purpose. And as we are flowing with Him and we're walking with Him, the gifts just come forth and they lead us into His will for our lives.
Yeah, and conversely, there's an enemy who doesn't want you to use your gifts, who doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose. And he will come along and he will complicate your life and put things and stumbling blocks in your way and cause you to be ineffective, maybe cause you to stop, maybe cause you to go in reverse.
Yeah, he will resist you.
Yes.
You know, he'll resist because he resists God.
Yeah.
He doesn't want God's will to be
done. And you definitely complicate his life when you actually fulfill your purpose.
Oh, for sure. Yay. Which is our purpose for being here.
Yep. So when we talk about that God wants you to be productive, right? Because we know that in our heads, but are there any examples that come to mind on maybe how the scripture tells us, you know, that God wants us to be productive?
Well, we were just talking about earlier that it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do according to his good purpose.
Yeah, that's what the scripture says.
Right. So we know that he has, we talked about those callings that he has for us in our life. And as we spend time daily with him, he changes our hearts. You know, in Psalm 37, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So as you're spending time with him and delighting yourself in him, you're going to find your desires changing. And if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, as you spend time with him, he kind of shows you his desires and the part of our hearts that don't line up with that. We kind of just let go of. It's like, oh, you're right. What you think is important is so much more important.
Yeah. And really, even along those lame lines, how can you tell the difference between, let's say, maybe something you want to do versus something God wants you to do?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think
maybe that's outside the scope of what we're talking about. It'd be very like me to do that.
Now I don't know what you're talking about, Greg. I think as you spend time with the Lord and you let him have your desires, he will change your desires to be in line with his will.
Yeah. And the main reason that I was asking is because obviously if we're going to be going to the time and the effort to figure out the hindrances, we don't want to be wasting our time doing things that are a distraction.
Yeah.
Right. And so getting in touch with the will of the Lord for us and our time and our effort, our money, our treasure, our time. And so I feel like that was a worthy question. So
no, it's good. Did you have anything you wanted to add about that?
No, I think you're right. I think it's just when you're spending time with him and then, you know, it's a good idea to write down, you know, some of the things he tells you
or
put it in a note on your phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's a good idea. Plus, I think there's some easy litmus tests to kind of filter what is your will versus what is his will.
Sure.
you know, anything that's going to magnify Christ is God's will. Right, period.
Anything that magnifies you.
Yeah.
Or making people think you're so smart.
Yeah, you probably should rethink
you
those.
Probably need to crucify that.
Those are probably a little less important.
Exactly.
So, I mean, plus anything that's going to expand the kingdom, right? The devil's never going to try to tempt you with that one. He'll always tempt you with the one that makes you bigger, more powerful, more known. You know, those are the things that you need to be willing to lay down.
Yeah, for sure.
So how do we identify if we're stuck, right? You know, just because you're not able to do things doesn't mean that you're stuck. But we're specifically wanting to talk about hindrances.
Right. And I think that's a good question, because there are times in our life when we feel like the Lord has given us a goal or a purpose and we're just not seeing traction. You know, either the timing's off, which is sometimes it's the timing issue, or there's more that you need to learn. But God does want us to be productive. You know, it says, if you'll abide in me and my words abide in you, he said, you'll bear much fruit, and you by so glorify my Father who's in heaven. You know, so us bearing fruit actually glorifies God. So I think we do need to establish that as a foundation. Yes. For our life, that it is God's will for you to be productive and for you to be fruitful, you know? And so, what wisdom from the garden do you see?
Well, go back to the very beginning. He said to inhabit the earth, right? To subdue the earth, to tend the garden, right? Mm-hmm. To care for each other. And so those are all very much work. Those are very much purpose-driven in what he was talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
What about the New Testament? Well, you were just talking about that one scripture that came to mind, right?
Like God is will, is it working you both to will and to do according to his will?
Yeah, that's
pleasure.
New Testament, right?
Yeah.
So, again, we're just...
Oh, and his purpose. He also mentioned that going to all the world to make disciples.
Yes, that was New Testament, right?
Right, so that was his... So we know, generally, those are his purposes for you, even if you don't know your specific.
I also want to say that there's a lot of people out there that think that really the only people who really need to be productive are people who work at a church or on the platform. Nothing could be further from the truth. God wants to use everyone. Mm-hmm. It is just the way it is.
Yeah, there's no cheerleaders. Everybody's a player on the field.
Yes.
In the kingdom of God. There's no, what is it, spectators?
Yeah.
Christianity is not a spectator sport.
Yeah.
Now, it looks different. Not everybody's called to be up at the front to teach or to lead a song or to work in the Sunday school.
Yeah.
But everyone is called to the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Is what Paul calls it. Yeah. Which means that as we live our life, we are ministering to the people God puts in our path to bring them closer to Jesus.
Yeah. Well, and we can do that anywhere. It doesn't have to be just within the church. But I've met a lot of people who kind of wrote themselves off, that they didn't have purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Or that since they weren't a pastor or didn't work at a church or whatever, that it didn't apply to them. Mm-hmm. And again, I just want to be very, very strong about, no, that's not true, right? And if anything, it's even more so. To be honest, I feel like the scripture tells us that those offices, you know, pastors and teachers and stuff like that, those people, what they do is they encourage people and they get people ready to go do the real ministry out in the world.
100%. Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
You can have a Walmart ministry where you're ministering to people at Walmart. It is absolutely, I would call it probably more likely that you're going to bump into people who need Jesus and need help, who need prayer, who need encouragement, who need a smile.
There are a lot of people that won't set foot in a church that need Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to go get them?
So really, again, we're just trying to chip away that you do have purpose, and if you're not achieving that, that's because maybe there's a hindrance. So let's talk about how, again, let's go back to John 10:10, right? We're talking the New Testament. This one's a very specific one where it's talking about the enemy and how to recognize the enemy. And so it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that may have life and have it more abundantly, mm-hmm. right? So one of the things that Sharon and I have learned is to notice if things start being stolen, killed, or destroyed, then
enemy's at work.
The enemy's at work, and thus that would probably lend itself towards a hindrance there.
Yeah, so, and what would be an example of that?
Well, let's take the first one, stolen, right? You know, it can be a little difficult to kind of identify it, but let's say the way I like to look at it is whatever was yours that no longer is yours, mm-hmm. right?
That you need.
Yeah. So if it's something that you had, but then it was taken away from you, it was stolen, right?
Health.
Yeah. Your health, right?
Joy.
Yeah. Your joy. Maybe maybe a strong mind, right? Because God mm-hmm. says he's given you a strong mind. Mm-hmm. So if
a
suddenly,
sound mind,
if
yeah.
you're, if you're, if you're not able to think right or your emotions are raw, those kinds of things, that means that your the fortitude of your mentality has been stolen or assaulted. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that you can definitely take back, right? The second one, killed, right, is something that was alive and was flourishing, but now is dead, right? So maybe a relationship, right?
A dream. That you know is from the Lord.
Yeah. And so those are definitely things that qualify for that. And then the last one was destroyed, right? Something that was intact that is no longer intact, right? Mm-hmm. Something that was, but now that has been just removed or you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our God is the God of resurrections. So that is not beyond him either. But mm-hmm. it is something something distinctive to kind of think about.
Exactly. So, I mean, the point there being that the enemy hates us and doesn't want us to be productive.
No.
There are some examples we can see how Jesus dealt with the enemy. Because
yeah.
Jesus was our perfect example mm-hmm. of what we're supposed to do. And do you want to share some examples of that?
Well, some examples that came to mind, you know, I started looking at like the time where after Jesus got baptized, and the scripture says he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. So if we look at the examples that are in there, let's go over to Matthew 4:5, where the enemy comes to Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And he was implying, you know, that the angels will catch you. He was talking about, you know, and the angels will keep you from hurting yourself. And Jesus said no, right? He said no. And so he was appealing to pride, right? He was appealing to Jesus' sense of like he could prevent harm from himself by invoking his position, right? Which is a pride issue. So pride is one of them. Then we go on over to Matthew 4:8, and all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me, right? So he was tempting Jesus with the lust of the eyes, right? You know, the want for power and position, right? And so, and then the last one was fear, right? With Matthew 16:23, where Jesus was talking later with Peter, and he was trying to explain to Peter like what was going to go on, you know, that he was going to go and the Jews were going to throw him in jail and sacrifice him and those kinds of things. And Peter kind of freaked out, and Jesus had to look at him and rebuke him. He rebuked Satan. You know, it's like he looked through Peter and saw that the enemy was really causing Peter to freak out, and so he rebuked him. And so, you know, fear being another way that the enemy uses it to lock you up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all these things, every single human being except for Jesus has fallen to these at one time or another, and it does cause you to be hindered in your purpose.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why Jesus came.
Yes,
you know, because our purpose was completely derailed.
Yep.
We were apart from God without any hope for restoration until the Son of God came and rescued us.
Yes, very much. So there's a section of scripture that really kind of came out to me, you know, when you and I were discussing this topic. And there's the first section, 1 Peter 5, right? And there's a section of scripture that Peter writes about. And there, each scripture, 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11, and we're going to go through each one of these, and we're going to talk about it contextually, right? And so I'm going to read a little bit here, but then we're going to kind of camp out on a few of these.
I want to give a little backstory about where this came from. I was dealing with some just emotional residue and some emotional just dysfunction in my heart, you know, just being hurt by things that had happened and just things that I was emotionally dealing with. And it was causing me to be ineffective in God's calling for my life. You know, what I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm supposed to be spending my time. I was spending way too much time focusing on why am I in so much pain?
Yeah.
What can I do to get out of this pain? And I thought about, you know, we just talked about different options and what we could do with that. But I woke up the next morning after we discussed this and we're just praying for wisdom. And the Lord said, resist.
Yeah.
That was the word he gave me. He was like, resist. And I was like, okay. And he showed me that what I was struggling with was a spirit of depression that was trying to come on me to prevent me from fully walking in who I am in Christ.
Yeah.
And walking in his calling for my life.
Wow.
And that's when we started studying about, well, resist how? You know, where does that come from? What does the Bible say? And I was like, well, you know, we know James 4:7 because we're...
Very much, yeah. If you've paid attention to our ministry for any length of time, you've known that James 4:7 is a big part.
Yeah, we quote that.
We have worked that one for a long time. All right, well, let's read here a little in 1 Peter 5, right? So again, starting verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whoever he may devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
And that was the scripture, the resist there.
Yep.
Because when God tells you to resist something, it means you're pushing against somebody else or something else with a will. To do something to you or with a force that's coming at you.
So, because God's given us victory over the enemy, but you know, but we have a part to play in the management of that of dealing with him, right?
And as a side note, I do want to mention there has been teaching in the church that we aren't supposed to resist the enemy, and that's not biblical.
Yeah, Sharon and I have actually been in services where pastors have preached that from the pulpit, and it took everything I could do to not jump up and argue with him in the moment. And some ways I wish I had, but you know, I
would have been a distraction.
Didn't, and now I have a story that I can tell. But so let's get into how to resist, right? So obviously, why would we want to resist? I mean, the answer I think is simple, because if we don't have to, why should we, right? If we know that no truth comes out of him, if we know that all he wants to do is destroy our lives, to kill, steal, and destroy, right?
That's enough right there.
Really. Why would
I don't
you
think I want that.
Yeah. This way, if you knew anybody like that, or if somebody came to your door and you knew that was what was going to be their MO in life, you would never let them in your house. So then you should never allow the enemy to stick around.
Yeah. And the fact that Jesus gave us authority over the enemy means that he expects us to be able to use it.
Exactly. Now, I know that this may be outside of the realm of some people's comfort zones, especially if you've never been taught that there is an active enemy that you have to resist. But I'm telling you right now, you're dealing with it and you don't even know. You know, that the enemy is messing with you and you just don't even know. And so I'm hoping that we'll be able to shed some light on that and begin your journey of learning how to resist. So, again, James 4:7, submit your therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so, again, it's kind of a recipe that Sharon and I have learned and taught. We wrote a book called Powerful Peace that really outlines how to use that and what it really means and how it helps you walk in the authority that God's given you. But the first part of it is submit therefore to God. So, and if you remember when we were first reading 1 Peter, it said the same thing. Therefore, humble yourselves again under the mighty hand of God, right? So there's a theme there. God's trying to get to us. And the way that I like to think about it is that he's deputizing you, right? So if we get pulled over by a police officer, we pull over. Why? He's just a person. He or she is just a person.
There's no magic lights.
Yeah, there's no. It's not like they turn your car off, right? And so you pull over, and then you know you try to comply with them as best you can. Why do you do that? Why? Because they have authority, right? So it's the same thing. When you submit yourself to God, his authority comes on you. Because what it means to submit yourself to God is to put yourself in alignment with what he wants. And then when you do that, then all his authority goes with you when you do that.
Well, and I want to express that even a little bit stronger, because I feel like the Lord is showing me that you're submitting to someone all the time. If you're submitting to your flesh, if you're submitting to your unrenewed mind and what you think or what you feel, you're submitting to the enemy, because that's where that's where he has authority, right? Because that's when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that was a fleshly, I mean, their spirit was cut off from God. And then their flesh and everything else was demoted, which Jesus talked about, or the Father talked about with the curse. This is what's going to happen because they submitted to the devil. So now that seed runs through all of humanity. And Paul even talks about it in Romans 7, I believe. He says that the flesh isn't even able to submit to God. You know, so if you're not submitted to God, then you're submitted, you're in the wrong team. And you can't resist because that's what you're submitted to.
Yeah.
So you have to submit to God and say, no, I choose to be on God's team. I choose to submit to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then God's like, yes, please do that, because then I can come and my power is available to you.
Yes.
On Jesus's behalf.
Yeah, it says in the scripture that his power is made perfect in us. And so that's again, we're trying to drive that understanding. Now, Hollywood has taken this concept and really, of course, butchered it, right? And they've made it a spectacle. It is not like that. And you shouldn't approach it that way mentally, but you do need to understand that, you know, if a stray dog came in your yard, you would shoo it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's especially the same.
If your children are playing in the front yard or something, you're not going to let some dog come and bite them.
It's the exact same concept, mm-hmm. right? And so we're just trying to get you to step into that mental place of understanding that you have authority, especially since you're submitted to God. So if you submit yourself to God, then you're able to kind of, then you can take the next step, which is to gear up in your faith, right? And what that means is to really, in verse 9 of 1 Peter 5, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren in the world. So it's just saying, gear up, right? Firm up your faith. Now, the faith means to believe that God will do what he said he will do. That is faith, plain and simple. It's not any more complicated than that. So then that's why knowing scripture is so important, because then you can start aligning yourself with what the scripture says. So we've submitted, then we go, all right, now I'm going to gear up and I'm going to start to believe that God is going to show up. Right.
So how would you, I mean, what would be an example of what that would look like? Can you think of a time in your life maybe that you felt like you were being resisted, that something was resisting you and you were being pushed?
Let's go back to what we started talking about in the beginning, like purpose, why we're here, mm-hmm. what we're doing. So if suddenly we get mm-hmm. in touch with the idea that we're being hindered, but then I would get back on to what am I supposed to be doing? Right. Mm-hmm. So if God's called you to, let's say God's called you to be more of a servant at church and do things, maybe you have special gifts you're good, really good with children, or you're good, you're a great cook, and you want
hospitality
or whatever, and you want to start using those gifts and talents to provide services for people or whatever. And then you just find yourself not able to engage because, you know, your emotions or your hurt or whatever, or depression. So I would then, again, I would resist the enemy. I would say, no, devil, you got to go, right? Mm-hmm. Then I would say, God, I thank you that you're going to bless the work of my hands, and I'm going to be able to go cook some amazing meals that are going to help people who just had a baby, or people who are, let's say they just got from the hospital and they can't fix their own meals, or I'm going to make a special meal for my pastor, or I'm going to volunteer to work. They're getting ready to do a big thing at our church and they need people to help volunteer. And I'm going to go and I'm going to serve with my time or whatever. Those are just some really quick off the top examples, but what you're doing is you're saying, no, I am going to do those things and you're going to help me, God.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know and first believe that he will, mm-hmm. right? That's faith. Believing that God's going to show up, right? Believing that God's going to get behind what it is you feel like he's calling you to do. That's faith. Good news is God says in his word that he's pleased when you have faith, right? And that without him, it's hard. It's the Bible says without it, it's impossible to please him. Well, that means that when you do have it, he's really pleased. he's really happy. Right?
And I want to encourage you as you're learning how to walk in faith, that sometimes it's just about changing what we're thinking. You know, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is virtuous, if there's anything lovely, anything worthy of praise, let your mind think on these things.
Yeah.
And the Lord's just been reminding me, hey, you have to guard your mind. You have to guard what's in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, and because what you repeat in your mind gets down into your heart after a while,
yeah.
You know, and you start to believe those things. If you just keep hearing those same recordings over and over in your head all the time. And so that's what we're talking about, resisting.
Yeah.
You have to resist the enemy. And what that means is you're actively pushing against it,
yes,
with something and replacing it with something else.
Oh, I think the best first step is just to say no out loud. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. If the enemy's starting to mess with me, I'll just say no. And man, it's like a splash of cold water.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally kind of snaps everyone out of it. And it starts that process. It really does.
And then we go back and do what Jesus did, which is reply with the word.
Yes.
What does the word say? Well, the word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens
me. That's right.
The word says that God knows the plans he has for me, plans for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope.
Yep.
You know, so if you're dealing with hopelessness, if you're dealing with depression, that's, you know, okay, those feelings are coming from somewhere. And I can resist those feelings,
yes,
by changing what I'm believing.
Yes, you change what you believe.
And imagine God smiling at you. Imagine God so happy with you. Imagine God walking next to you right now as you're preparing to do the things that he's called you to do. You know, and the joy, that's the wonderful thing about being on God's team, is that it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Everything he asks us to do is fun. You know, we enjoy the presence of people. We enjoy, I'm encouraging them, and we enjoy serving them because it's the Holy Spirit in us that's serving through us, and they're blessed, and we're blessed because we're being used by God and fulfilling our purpose. And
yes,
there's just nothing more fulfilling in life than doing what God's called you to do.
Agreed. So again, back to the recipe, submit to God, right? We talked about that. Resist the devil, right? So we're going to like, hey, no, you got to go,
mm-hmm,
right? Another section in 1 Peter 5 that I find really, really encouraging, when you get on down to verse 10, now it says, after you have suffered for a little while, it's basically just saying, hey, I think after you've woken up and you realize you don't want to deal with it anymore, right? It says, the God of grace, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And that is his promise to show up, that after you have resisted and after you have geared your faith up and you've kicked it into gear, that God's going to show up. In other words, he's basically saying, I'm going to show up and I'm going to do, he's going to supernaturally work in your life. You think about it, those things that he's talking about, like the perfection, right? The confirmation, the strengthening, the establishment. Those are supernatural in influences and things that the Holy Spirit will come and do in you and will empower the work that he has for you. Because again, God wants you to be productive. He doesn't want you to be off on the sideline affected by something. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be a conqueror.
He's designed you.
That's right.
For that.
So that means God's grace will be flowing in your life. His provision, right? Whenever you hear the word grace, especially in the New Testament, think provision, right? Think God's provision will be in your life, right? And you know, that's where God has linked you with Jesus and established you in his glory, right? That means that because of Jesus' perfect sacrifice, you are now a Christian, right? Because you've received it, you're a Christian, and now you're linked with Jesus. So the grace that flows because of Jesus' sacrifice is flowing in your life. You know what? Say that right now. Just say, God's grace is flowing in my life.
God's grace is flowing in my life.
I mean, it is a good thing for you to say that and save it often. Now, not because you deserve it. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But it is the free gift of God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, and then you can also say, God is working in me. God is working to perfect him, to perfect me, to confirm me, to strengthen me, and to establish me. That's something, is, again, you go back and read 1 Peter 5, verse 10, and it says that God's going to show up. It's like another way you can pull that right into your resisting section of this thing is you can look the devil right in the face going, you know what? God's going to show up and he's going to perfect me. He's going to confirm me. He's going to strengthen me and he's going to establish me. And there's not a thing you can do about it. See, that's when it starts getting fun. You start waving that in the devil's face.
And there's a darn thing he can do about it.
It is. I want to talk about laying aside entanglements.
That's interesting you brought that up because it's not always the devil.
No.
That's causing us trouble. I know we spent some time on that, and he is definitely an adversary for us for sure because he hates God, and we look like we're in his image, so he's against us as well. But sometimes we get hung up and hindered from our purpose because of things people have done to us.
Things people have said or done.
Yeah. Or maybe things that we've done ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, condemnation. And,
yeah. We
and
do
guilt.
Kind of make a few mistakes every
now
and
then. Yeah. Every once in a while, we choose poorly. and the devil takes advantage of those, of course, and heaps on guilt and condemnation, which can hinder us from filling out, fulfilling God's purpose for our life. And a great kind of illustration of that the Lord gave us was a bolo. So do you want to explain what a bolo is?
So a bolo is, I want to say it's an African weapon. And what it is it's three solid, like wooden balls that are tied together by long, like 2 foot, 3 foot cords, right? And you may have seen these where like they'll spin them around and then they'll throw it at something and it'll wrap around something. Like they'll throw it after like an antelope or something, and it'll wrap around the antelope's legs and keep it from running away.
It'll twist it up and tangle it
and cause it to trip so that they can capture it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the illustration that we see when we read Hebrews 12, verse 1, when he says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so that bolo is a great illustration for what happens to us when either someone else sins against us or we sin, we miss it. We knew the Lord told us not to do something and we fell into it anyway. And we get tangled up for a little bit and have a hard time getting back up and you know.
So then how does it tell us to deal with that, right? So how do you lay aside the sin that so easily entangles?
Well, verse 2. He goes on and he gives us the answer. Hallelujah. He doesn't make us wait. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And why do we look at Jesus? Because he is perfect.
Yeah. He says that he's the author and the perfecter of our faith.
And when we look at him, we're not looking at our own sin anymore.
Yeah.
And we're not looking at the pain that we're experiencing because of someone else's sin or whatever. We can cast that onto him as well. And just say, okay, well, as he is, so am I in this world.
This is a very highly useful thing because every one of us are surrounded by people who sin in varying degrees. And, you know, and they might be people you like, which makes it harder, you know, because when the people who are closest to you sin, it usually hurts more than somebody you don't care about. So the rest of that scripture is talking about Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that he will not grow weary and lose heart.
Yeah, so you will not grow weary.
Yeah. So this is kind of, again, God's trying to encourage us to get better at dealing with sin in our own lives and letting go of the sin that others commit against us.
And I love the fact that he says, you know, when stuff happens, either you sin or someone else sins against you, I need you to look away from the pain, which is hard because, you know, if you've ever If you've ever stumped your foot, what do you do? I mean, if you really stump your toe really hard, you fall to the ground and you hold your foot.
Yes.
You're like, ah! Yeah. You may hop around a little bit.
Like it was getting ready to fall off.
Exactly.
And I'm saving it from falling off.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you squeeze it, you know.
Ow, it hurts.
I know. But what he's saying is, okay, yeah, you're hurting. You're tangled up. Look away from that. Look at Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's perfect.
Yeah.
His sacrifice paid for that. His sacrifice sets you free from that.
Yeah.
Sets you free from the results of that in your own life. Sets you free from the condemnation that would be that you deserve because he took that for you. So he's saying, look at the cross. Look what Jesus did for you. So you're not carrying that around and trying to medicate your own pains and your own problems.
Now, you and I, we've been doing this a long time, and the usual response from some people is, but then they get away with it. Well, how do we address that concern?
Well, right now we're not talking about what they get away with or not. We're talking about hindrances to your own purpose. And one of the big hindrances is unforgiveness. If you choose to hold on to somebody else's offense, you're cutting off the grace of God for you. And you're not going to have the power and the grace to fulfill your calling. Now, God will deal with them. It says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. God will deal with them. But we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what's in their heart. All we know is that they threw a bolo at us and now we're tangled up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we know. So all we can really do and all we have the ability to understand is what can I do right now with the situation that I have right now?
Yeah. I think that's very, very appropriate, right? Again, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So when you get tangled up in someone else's sin or somebody who sins against you, focus on Jesus. Now, your body's going to be like, no. Your body's going to be like, but I'm hurting, right?
You know,
and that it is real. But again, so let's go back to the promises that he was talking about and that he is going to work in you. God's going to pull that thorn out.
Yeah, and he's going to keep working. And he's still working on your behalf in their life as well. You know, but honestly, we want the Lord's will. If we're walking in love toward them, we want God's will done in their life, and we want them to have godly repentance, and that comes about through God's kindness that leads us to repentance.
Yeah,
you know, so for your own mental health, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but forgive. Now, if it's appropriate, you know, you could talk to them and say, "Hey, that really hurt me," but you know what? Your future shouldn't depend on them not being dysfunctional. You have to let them go, whether or not they repent or not.
Yeah.
They may never say, come to you and say, hey, look, I'm really sorry I hurt you or whatever. You know what? And you just have to be okay with that and let them go to the Lord.
Well, I mean, you really just need to expect that every now and then somebody's going to hurt you. I mean, it's just to expect that you're going to go through life and never be hurt by someone is really deluded. You know, again, Jesus... he says, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, right? So he knew he was going to go through trouble. He did it on purpose, but he knew what he was doing. He knew what it was going to add up to. And again, that's where you have to be purpose-driven, focused, right? You have to understand that you're doing all this. You're pushing past your feelings. You're pushing past these prickly people,
right?
And being focused on what it is that God wants to do in you and through you.
And I think also we have to realize that it wasn't just the cross, because after the cross, there was a resurrection.
Yeah.
You know, and God says, verse 3 says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Yeah.
So as we see the results of that, the results of Jesus going through all that and the resurrection and the restoration that he got, gets transferred to us because we're looking at him to be our source. You were looking at him to heal our hearts, and we're accepting his sacrifice to cover all of our needs.
Yes. So don't lose heart. Be brave. Just because you're dealing with the pain of someone rejecting you or being critical of you or being ugly to you, lying about you, hurting you, you can look past it. You can focus on what God wants to do in you and that God's going to show up. Remember? So the last part of that 1 Peter 5, I want to go back to that. It says, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I remember reading that and just thinking, gosh, the word dominion there, you know, I think we all think we know what it means, but I was went and looking up, and when it means sovereignty or control, right? Man's attempt to establish dominion, right? That's the example that it talks about in the dictionary. But then when I went over to the thesaurus is when it really started to jump out at me. And again, the word dominion, to him be the dominion forever and ever. And some of the words that come out of the thesaurus are supremacy, right? Dominance, domination, superiority, predominance, preeminence, right? Primacy, authority, master, control, right? To him, we want those things in our life. To God, we want him to have those things in our life, right? So it's always, no matter what we go through, may God be the largest and most powerful things in our life.
In our eyes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Peter was basically, he was basically proclamating, prophesying, praying that God, no matter what, I want you to be the biggest part of my life. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think that kind of seals the whole thing. It's a great way to end the whole concept of how to overcome being hindered, right?
So, I mean, we talked about two different kinds of hindrances that we come across in life. One of them was the flat out enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He attacks your mind. He attacks your emotions, you know. And two, the sin of others, you know, and the sin that so easily entangles us.
Yeah.
You know, and both of those exhibit the domination of sin and the fallen world. But as we let go of those things, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, as we resist the devil and cast all our anxiety on the Lord because he cares for us, mm-hmm. as we walk in those, we are establishing the dominion of God on the earth, in our lives and in the life and in this earth.
Yeah, we are witnessing we are a witness in this world of God's goodness and his salvation and his love towards mankind.
That his ways are better and bigger and more powerful than any of these other things.
And they overcome all of the power of this world and the power that people try to wield in our lives. And we can give God glory for what he does in our lives. Wow, that's really amazing. Fantastic. I love it. So thank you. Thank you, Sharon, for talking with me about this. And we encourage you to get in the Word. Get in 1 Peter 5. Get in James 4, right?
Hebrews 12, 1-3.
That's right. Do your own study with these scriptures.
Yeah, man, it's set you free.
It really will. It'll put bullets in the gun of your faith, right?
Yeah.
And so we just encourage you to do that. Also, share this podcast with somebody else who's going through it, somebody who needs a shot in the arm, somebody who's really struggling, right? Send that to them, and we just encourage you to do that and pray for them. And be there for them, you know, come alongside them and encourage them to purge the negative, to cast it all on Jesus and to receive the Holy Ghost within and the power of the Holy Spirit to empower them to walk that out.
Yeah, be Andrew.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's what Andrew did. He brought Peter to Jesus.
And so, well, we really appreciate you spending time with us today, and we trust that this word is going to be an encouragement to you. I'm Greg.
I'm Sharon.
And we know that you can have God's best for your life, and we're here to help.